It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And be sure and go over to Facebook and give us a like. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. I've got emails. I do need to respond to many of you. It's been a wild week because Rick Turnquist is in studio with me, and we are putting the finishing touches on this voter's guide that we're working on. Rick Turnquist, it's great to have you in the studio.
Good morning, Kim. It's great to be here with you on this Friday in September.
Yes, definitely. And this voter's guide is, I think it's going to be a really great tool for people as they sit down to fill out their ballot. They may agree, they may disagree, but we have given our thorough analysis, our honest opinion. We're giving the actual text of what the ballot question is, as well as linking them to, for example, if it has a legislative, backing or, documents backing that up, or the measure, we're going to have all that there, the links, so that people can access all that. And so we've spent a lot of time on this.
Yeah, it's been a considerable amount of time. And this is a very important election. I know every 4 years people say this is the most important election in our lifetimes, but I actually believe that this actually is maybe the most important election of our lifetimes. And certainly here in Colorado, there's several ballot initiatives that are on the ballot that are going to have significant impacts on our lives if they're passed or in some cases not passed. And, in earlier years when I have done voter guides, it's been easy because it's usually a no on everything. But this year there's we're proposing several yeses, and we're going to go through all that.
Yeah, we'll do that in segments 3 and 4. In segment 2, we'll talk with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine about what is happening in the interest rate market as well as the real estate market. In this first segment, there's a headline we definitely want to get to. We've got some things to talk about, though, first. And on Monday night, you and I will be presenting this voter's guide at Water's Edge Winery. That's Monday, September 28th, 5:30 to 8. You can sign up for that at my website. Tickets are $20. There's additionally a $3 processing fee, and then you can order what you want to eat or drink a la carte. Ticket sales are brisk. I don't know exactly where we are, Rick, because I've been working on our voter's guide, but I would recommend that people go ahead and get their tickets purchased because we will cut the number of ticket sales off. And so that should be really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. We had a kind of a trial run with your women's, was it Topics and Tapas?
It's Tapas and Topics.
Okay, yeah. So I got it backwards. And what do you know? I'm a guy. So.
they're a robust group of girls, aren't they?
They certainly are. And so, I really had to laugh when you floated the idea of having men join the group, and one of the women said, no.
So he's a veteran now, too. I went one time.
That's right. You did when C.L. Bryant was there.
Yeah, and it's a tough.
Yeah, you got to mind your P's and Q's. You know, I had to be careful not to mansplain anything. Yeah,
so. Actually, we like men. And so I have several Tapas and Topics women's groups. They're not all women's groups. Some of them actually do include men, and that's why I floated the question. And there was a very adamant that we're going to keep this for the girls right now, but we have a group that meets up in Fort Collins, one that meets in Boulder, a couple in Jefferson County, North Denver. And if you're interested in learning more about that, just email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Rick, I know this is near and dear to your heart. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And, of course, the new thing is fear. They're using fear to just put all kinds of force all over us. Mm-hmm. And if something is a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. Socialism ultimately comes down to force, Rick.
That's exactly right. And the hallmark of tyranny is force. And throughout history, when we look at, tyrannical regimes, there's no choice. There's no freedom of choice. There's no individual choice. It's all one size fits all. It's all, you know, government's going to tell you what to do. And that's why the progressive movement is so dangerous, because the progressives really believe in their hearts and their minds that they know what's best for everybody and they know how society should look. And they're willing to use any means to gain power in government, to use the force of government to, you know, deprive you of your property and your freedom, and to impose their vision of what the world should look like on you, instead of just letting people live their lives. And people on our side, you know, we have views about morality and stuff like that, but in general, we want people to be free to live their lives as they see fit and use the money they earn as they see fit. And that's the real fundamental divide between people like us and progressives. And
people like us are liberty-loving people.
Yeah. We're liberty-loving people. I haven't gotten through Ben Shapiro's new book yet, but I know he has kind of an overall arc of you know, preservationists, you know, people who want to preserve the union, and destructionists, people who want to destroy the mm-hmm. union. And that's really what this election's all about.
It is.
And, you know, I know there's a lot of people that don't like President Trump, but he has done, you know, some really good things for America. They're never reported because the media hates him. But when you look at the alternatives, you know, when you talk about President Trump, that, you know, he's done a lot of great things, and he's
from
a fighter.
Policy standpoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And he's a fighter. You know, I wrote a blog post several months ago, and in the blog post I talked about, you know, for people that have watched Game of Thrones, have you watched Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay, well, Steve, how about you? Game of Thrones?
Sorry.
Okay, well, for those who have watched it, there's you remember when Tyrion is going to be you know, thrown out of the door at the Eyrie, you know, and fall to his death. He chose a trial by combat, and he chose a mercenary named Bronn to fight for him. And he chose Bronn because Bronn was a foul-mouthed, tough fighting guy, and you know, when you're fighting for your life, that's what you want fighting for you mm-hmm. is a foul-mouthed fighting guy who's going to win.
And we are fighting for the life of the country right now. When in fact, those on the radical progressive activist left say have said that if Donald Trump actually goes ahead and appoints, or if a Supreme Court justice is appointed by Donald Trump in this Senate, that they are going to, what'd they say, Steve, burn it down?
Burn it down.
That's exactly right. And Ben Shapiro talked about this a couple of days ago on his podcast. You know, the Democrats, instead of, you know, trying to convince people through reason of the goodness of their ideas, because they can't, they want to just, when they lose, they want to just tear it down and change the rules. So, you know, 2000 and 2016, Republican president is elected through a majority in the Electoral College, the way it's been done. You know, the Electoral College is how all presidents have been elected. And, you know, so instead of, you know, accepting the results like we do, even though we may not like them. I don't remember being out rioting after Barack Obama was elected.
And I went to work the next day, too.
Yeah. I was like, you know, the sun still rose and came up, and yeah, we're going to be in for a rough 4 years, or 8 years as it turned out. But, you know, we accepted the result and we moved on with life. But, you know, they want to tear it down. They want to subvert the system. So they came up with this National Popular Vote Compact, whereby states that sign on to this compact would award their electoral votes to the winner of the aggregate popular vote. And this is a great time to point out that there's really no such thing as a national popular vote, air quotes, because each state administers its elections in accordance with its own laws, customs and traditions and processes and procedures. And, you know, news organizations and the Federal Elections Commission will tabulate the results of each state's votes. Mm-hmm. But there's no true national popular vote. And the founders never intended for the president to be elected by a popular vote. And so this national popular vote thing that is gaining steam is really subverting the Constitution. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on when we go through our voter's mm-hmm. guide. But
ultimately, it takes our vote and our voice here in Colorado, and it gives it to the large population areas like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, New York. Those cities are doing really, really well.
Oh, yeah. They're all run by Democrats. And as I talked about in my blog post on your website, KimMonson.com, they're unfit. The Democrats are proving that they're unfit to govern by the results in those cities. And let's see. Where was I going to go with that? But
well, I have an interesting anecdote to what you're saying.
What's that, Producer Steve?
With all the garbage that they're bringing down and trying to influence this election with mail-in ballots, the Postal Service, in, of all things, in Chicago has said, we're not going to deliver the mail in certain areas of the city because it's so dangerous. Now, does that... Isn't that a
wow.
train wreck?
I had not heard that.
That's kind of interesting when they're so, you know, I think they're really hoping this mail-in ballot's going to get the job done for them.
Well, Judicial Watch, this was within the last year or so, had actually sued the city of Los Angeles because they had more registered voters than they had eligible voters. So just think about that. We want to give our vote and voice to somebody that's doing that. I don't think so. Let's jump in here. A couple of other things. I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And to each of you listeners, I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Keep those cards and letters coming. Today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our inspiration for today is from Pericles. And Pericles was a prominent and influential Greek statesman, an orator, and general of Athens during its golden age, specifically the time between the Persian and the Peloponnesian Wars. He was descended through his mother from the powerful and historically influential Alcmaeonid family. He was born, Steve, you're going to like this, 495 BC. He died in 429 BC. He was 66 years old. And you're not going to believe what he said. He said, just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean that politics won't take an interest in you.
Now you,
is that who said that?
You say that quite often. Now you,
I know.
Okay.
I didn't realize he'd said it.
Wow.
Like a long time ago.
Oh. I thought maybe you were there, but you know, no.
Oh. I'm going to have to talk to Crawford about their producers. You know it. Hey, I want to talk about some force here. And Patty found this. In fact, she texted me. She said, you are not going to believe this. Guess what? This is from the Denver Channel. A new Boulder County public health order prohibits people ages 18 to 22 from gathering in any capacity. And they issued this new public health order because they said it applies to all indoor, outdoor, on-campus, and off-campus locations in the city of Boulder. In addition, the order identified 36 addresses where people have repeatedly violated the public health orders and requires those individuals to stay at their residences at all time. At all times. Can you say solitary confinement, Rick Turnquist? You believe this?
It's exactly what it looks like. And it's just the mentality of the Boulder Mafia that's running our state. And it's really unfortunate. And, you know, I've got a family member who's in Colorado University, not DCU, but in a Colorado university. And he's upset that he's not getting the college experience because of all these COVID limitations and forcing people to stay at home. And these are young, I mean, you can't go outside to exercise, you know.
You only can go out if you're alone.
If you're alone. Well, you know, that's just, you know, people
that age.
We're
social beings. We're
social beings, and people of that age are especially social
beings.
They're
very social beings.
They're forming their adult, worldviews, their adult lives, and, you know, they should absolutely be able to go out and live their lives.
How many college sweethearts? You know, have gotten married and have had long marriages. Right. Now they can't even go meet each other.
Yeah. It's it's a little draconian is the word I would use there. Yeah.
How about a lot draconian? So this is, I actually copied off the order. And one other thing that I think is very dangerous, if you go to this piece that Patty had found from the Denver Channel, you can click on it and it'll give you those 36 addresses. They're doxing those people, if you can believe it.
That's
really scary.
That's really out of line, yeah.
That's really out of line. Let's go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners. They have five locations, and that is Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. When I had the girls over the other night, we had their wonderful barbecued shrimp and then also their cheese queso. It was just delicious. But, these beautiful Colorado evenings, Friday afternoon, they have patios. You know, I would recommend just go over for some of their specials. They have dine-in specials, they have to-go specials, and they have party-pack specials. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is KimMunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and podcasts. And I'd recommend that you go over and buy your ticket for our Salon Series Voters Guide event this Monday, September 28th, 5:30 to 8 p.m. at Water's Edge Winery. The tickets are $20 plus a $3 processing fee. Then when you're there, you can purchase what you want to eat and drink. I know that Jen and Chef D are coming up with some great ideas. And Rick Turnquest, who is in studio with me, his website is toadvancefreedom.com.
Toadvancefreedom.com.
Yeah, toadvancefreedom.com. And you and I have done this voter's guide together, and we're going to present that on Monday night.
That's right. And I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. We had a trial run with your topics and topics.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the A comes before the O. So, okay. topics and, you know, it seemed to be well received and didn't receive any significant pushback. So I think we're on the right track with where we're at. And I noticed we conform largely to other, you know, conservative groups. And so I'm pleased about that.
And we're taking a stand on everything, too.
That's right. Yeah. The Colorado GOP, on their website, they're neutral on a few things. And I've reached out to the state party to find out why they're neutral on a couple of the things they're neutral on, because I believe they should be in strong opposition just like the rest of us are.
When I was on city council initially, there was a bit of a controversial issue, and I thought I would just abstain. And the city manager said, "You have to take a stand." I'm like, "You're right. You have to take a stand."
Yeah.
And so we're making a recommendation. You can agree or disagree. We're given our thought process. So, hey, let's jump over here to Lauren Levy. He is one of my very valued partners. He is a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group. And Lauren, what is happening? I've been working on the voter's guide, so I haven't been watching interest rates. What's going on?
No, not much. We've been sort of in this low-range environment now for quite some time. And you and I, Kim, have spent a few weeks talking about this fee that was implemented and then taken away. And we're starting now to see several lenders getting ready for this December 1st deadline and re-implementing the fee.
Oh, no.
There's still a couple that have not. But the ones that are slower, that have take a little bit longer to sell their loans off down the road to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, are starting to re-implement it now so that it is in place when they go to sell those loans. So that's the only thing that's really changing or, you know, happening as we speak.
Is it too late to get around that?
Absolutely not. No, there's still a few lenders that have not implemented it. And so as long as we can get people locked in before it kicks in with those banks, we can still go ahead.
Okay, so what should people do? Because if they procrastinated, you know, I know that it's taking longer, time to get these things processed just because of demand. What should people do, Lauren Levy?
As long as we can get people locked in, then the time it takes to close, it doesn't matter so much. So I would urge people, if they've been holding off, to make the phone call, at least get an application in process, see if there's a way to help them. And if there is and they decide to move forward, we can lock it in and avoid this fee.
And if they reach out to you, it's like no harm, no foul, because you will pay for their appraisal, correct?
Yeah, the application is free. The whole process is free. And then if we move forward, then yes, we pay for the appraisal through your listeners as well. So,
okay, and what is the best way for people to reach you, Lauren Levy?
The best way is call 303-880-8881. They can go to the website at polyfigroup.com, polyfigroup.com. But it's easiest to just call at 303-880-8881.
Okay. One other question. Can people still get something in the twos, or is it
Absolutely.
Bumping up to three? Really?
Huh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I just locked someone in yesterday at a 2.75 on a 30-year. So, yeah, the twos are still out there.
Oh, my gosh. You know, when opportunity knocks, answer the door. And so I think opportunity is knocking right now, Lauren Levy. So that phone number again for Lauren is 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. Lauren Levy, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you, Kim.
And Karen Levine, award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor, is on the line as well. We've known each other for, I don't even want to tell people how long, Karen, because it's gonna kind of give them our age range, you know it?
Exactly. Just, you know, the fact that we've known each other quite a while and done a lot of life together, that's all they need to know, right?
We have done a lot of life together. You are a valued friend and partner. And RE/MAX Alliance, award-winning realtor. I just got your most recent flyer, and you had talked about the real estate market, what's been happening in the metro area. What's the latest?
Well, I think it's just continues to confirm that, you know, COVID put us into a recession. It was a situation where it was a forced recession, and the housing market is staying strong and keeping our economic environment strong. It's amazing, these statistics. Average time that homes have been on the market for detached single-family homes was 21 days in August. So things are flying off the shelf. Our average sold prices continue to go up. The average sold price in the Denver metro area is now over $500,000.
Wow.
Which makes affordability a little more challenging. But when you look at the interest rates that Lauren is quoting, those are more significant than the raising prices. Those rates allow you affordability, which is excellent. If you're looking to get into a condo, townhome, paired situation, the average price on those right now in our area is about $375,800. And sellers love to hear this, that homes are selling for 66% of their asking price. I mean, 66% of the homes, that didn't sound very
positive. Yeah, okay, so yeah, rephrase that. Okay.
Yeah, so 66% of the single-family homes that came on the market in August have sold for asking price or better.
Okay.
So they're getting their prices. Values are holding strong. The interest rates are helping people buy. And I was super excited, Kim. I was driving to work this week, and I saw two big signs on two pieces of ground. Meritage Homes is building home ownership units in Arvada. They are building paired homes.
Now, what's a paired home?
A paired home would be considered like a duplex, but you only own half of it.
Okay.
So you only have one common wall, and it helps with affordability. I'm guessing many of those homes are going to be ranch-style homes, which we are in desperate
need of. Yeah, there's a big demand for that, yeah.
Exactly, and those are up in kind of the Five Parks area, which is off of Indiana and 86. And then the other sign came up down from my office, and I was in a bad mood because I had been told they were going to be 222 apartments. Well, they are not. They are building townhomes there that are starting in the 400s. So we've got some great new home product in Arvada. And I think what else is exciting is if a seller is putting their home on the market, some of the things we're concerned about with regards to safety and showings, people in your home, et cetera, the realtor community has done a great job keeping people's homes as safe as we possibly can, doing the protocols we've been asked to do, but homes are going under contract in less than a week, 10 days. So you only have to put up with people coming in and out for a short period of time, which okay. I think is helpful for our sellers.
Right, and to have your house clean, and then what, you have to put candles with cookie dough that smell cookie dough or something like that, right?
No, all of this. Cookie dough is bad, Kim.
Oh, that's bad?
Yeah, citrus.
Oh.
It's a nice, clean smell if you're going to be burning anything. Just, you know. But if you're going to be baking, that's a different story.
Got it. So, okay, Karen Levine, and on these new, this new product that is coming on the market, you can help people with that, right? We talked about it last week, that even on new bills, it's good to have somebody on your side of the table, and you can do that, Karen. You're a good negotiator.
I can, and what the buyer needs to know is that there's not a cost to them to have representation, because the builders have offered to pay what's called a co-op commission to me if I am representing a buyer. And all the buyer, the builder asks of me is that I accompany you on your first visit. So give me a call if you're thinking about going out and looking at new construction, and we can go out and check out that new product together. The one thing I did want to add to the comments that you guys were chatting about with regards to Boulder and young people, what I found interesting is my soon-to-be granddaughter is a freshman at CU, and her roommate and a dorm mate went out on a blanket to have breakfast on Sunday morning. And they were asked to remove themselves and go inside.
Astonishing, Karen. Astonishing.
It makes me so sad, because they were social distancing. They weren't breaking any rules. And I'm sorry, we all need our vitamin D.
Yes, we do. And that's supposed to be, fight COVID. What was her reaction to that? Was she frustrated or what?
She was very frustrated. She's a very kind person, and certainly would follow the directions given. But as any person, if you and I just went to the park and sat on a blanket and it was just the two of us, I don't think that that's something that is promoting the spread of COVID.
I think, to use the Rick Turnquist word, this is draconian. But hopefully people are waking up and are going to vote for freedom. You may not love all the Republican candidates in this particular election cycle, but the choice is, as Rick said, it's division and destruction versus freedom. And I'm hoping all these young people realize just how draconian this stuff is coming down. So, oh my gosh, I'm going to be thinking about that all weekend. Karen Levine, hold on. Rick wants to say something.
I just wanted to add a comment, Karen. You know, that's one of the really most disturbing aspects of this whole COVID thing, is the people who are out there, you know, mask shaming and you know, being very unpleasant towards other people because of their lack of a mask or whatever, or not social distancing. And it's really none of their business. You know, people have medical reasons for not wearing masks. They have, you know, personal freedom choices. And I realize we're trying to contain the spread, but you know, mind your own business and just let people live their lives. That's the best advice I can give to anybody.
You know what? Hopefully, Steve had gotten some information from the CDC. Maybe when we come back from break, we can talk about that. Jason McBride, if you and Melissa were sitting and having a picnic and somebody told you to go inside, you probably wouldn't like that very much, would you? Oh,
no,
you know what?
You know,
hold on.
I didn't even.
Hey, Jason, you know what? I forgot to give Karen Levine's phone number. Sorry about that.
Okay,
I need to do
ahead.
That. Hey, Karen, I forgot to do that.
Friday morning.
Yeah, what's your phone number?
people can reach me at 303-877-7516, and we wish you all a great weekend.
Yes, and that's 303-877-7516, and Karen, you have a great weekend as well.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, Jason, I'm walking all over you. I set that up with you and Melissa out on a picnic. What would you do?
Well, I guess it would depend on who it was, Kim. I certainly wouldn't like it very much, and, you know, Rick brings up a good point. You got a lot of people that seem to feel like they've got the right to tell other people what to do. But I have a solution for that. I think we ought to just make a punch in the mouth legal for about the next year.
Did you just say that on the air?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, what happened in the markets yesterday? Did they get punched around?
You know, they did early in the day, Kim, and then, you know, they bounced up some after getting beat up early. About the last 2.5 hours, they gave back a lot of the gains, but most of the indexes ended up slightly positive yesterday. Not very much. This morning, the futures on the Dow, I saw they were down almost 300 earlier. Now they've closed that up. Futures down about 128. Again, what we should be watching for is to see if these indexes can hold above the recent lows they made a few days ago. If they can hold there and start to move back up above the 50-day moving averages, maybe we can work our way out of this thing. But I'll tell you, the markets are looking pretty rough to me. September's generally not a very nice month. October is the month where sometimes you really get some breathtaking sell-offs. And then, of course, you know, there's just no other way to slice it. This year's upcoming election, it's not like any that I've ever seen in the past. You know, I haven't heard about this much viciousness and vileness going all the way back to when Abraham Lincoln was elected, and there wasn't a 24-hour news cycle back then.
Well, it was pretty vile back then as well. But, you know, as you were talking about this, you know, and you and I chatted a little bit offline yesterday as far as, you know, I think, you know, long term, people need to, you know, be investing for the long term, but also on the short term, understand their risk tolerances. And that is something I would really recommend that people sit down and do with you. You know, the markets are off their highs, but there's still opportunity. I think if you want to move some of your funds into a defensive position, sit down and do a portfolio checkup. It doesn't cost anything. And I would highly recommend that they do that with you, Jason McBride.
Well, and that's true, Kim, and some folks may not like to move around at all. They're okay with the ups and downs for the long term. Some people, you know, have had enough of it, and they'd like to maybe do something different. I mean, every single person that I've met with, that we meet with as a firm, everybody's a little bit different. So it's about talking to someone that can help you figure out, you know, to the best of the ability, how to tailor your plan in a way that's going to work best for you. Your plan is different than everybody else's. You know, I like to say you've got your plan inside your head already. We'll just try to help you get it down on paper so you can understand what it actually looks like and where it might take you.
So for people to reach out to you, the phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Or I'd recommend also people go to our landing page together, airpresidential.com, AIRpresidential.com. And also I would recommend that people get that analysis that you did, you know, comparing everyday regular people, what their pocketbooks look like after the Trump tax cuts, because as we are going into election season, you need to understand what that is. So Jason McBride, thank you so much. You have a great weekend.
You too, Kim. Thank you.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Rick Turnquest and I have been working diligently on our voter's guide, and we'll be going through our recommendations on that. Rick is in studio, so stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. We'd appreciate that. And be sure and sign up for our event, our Salon Series event, this Monday night at Water's Edge Winery. Rick Turnquest, who's in studio with me, and I are going to present our voter's guide in depth. We're going to go through our recommendations this morning. I mentioned that I wanted to go through those CDC flu numbers that you got, Steve, but you know what? I didn't realize time always goes so quickly when Rick is in studio. So let's do that next week. Rick Turnquest.
So it's Rick's fault. Okay.
It's all Rick's fault. That's right.
It is my fault, Steve.
That's right. Okay, Rick, we've been working diligently on this. We should have this in the weekly newsletter on Sunday when that comes out. Let's go ahead and run through this. On each of these, we've taken a stand on them. Let's start with Amendment B. Or I guess that's me.
Yeah,
That's Amendment B. We are recommending a no. And basically, this is repealing the Gallagher Amendment that was passed in 1982. And what it did is it was really working to keep residential property taxes affordable. And what has happened with the intersection of Gallagher and Tabor, that the residential rate of taxes has gone down while the commercial or the non-residential is stayed higher. We understand that this has really been squeezing small businesses, and we realize that something needs to be done. But ultimately, we do not think that this is the case, or that this is what should be done, because it will freeze the residential property rate at 7.15%. And so let's just think about that. As your property values go up, your assessments go up, your taxes are going to go up. So in essence, this is going to be an increase in taxes on residential. It also freezes. And this is via statute is what it freezes, is the non-residential at 29%. And, of course, these legislators are saying, you know, implying that they're going to bring that rate down. But there's no promise that they will. And as I look at the names of the people generally that have their names on this piece of legislation, they have not been friendly to small businesses. So I do not think it is a good idea to put our trust in the legislature right now to do this. There's a better plan. These special districts, school districts, fire districts, if in fact they're getting squeezed because of this particular ratio, they actually can go to the voters and ask for a way to address these budget shortfalls via mill levy, increase in mill levies. So there is something that can be done to fix it. We do need to do something. This is not it.
I agree. And, you know, thank you for your research on this, because it's a complex issue. I really believe that, you know, giving the legislature more power over anything is not a good idea at this point in time. So
no, it's not. So, okay, continuing on.
All right. So instead of going in order, because I know we have limited time, I want to talk about, you know, what I think is a more important thing, okay, which is, there's a Proposition 118 on the ballot, which is for a paid family medical leave program. And longtime listeners of your show, Kim, will know that I'm a firm in opposition to the whole concept, because it basically is an illegal tax on everybody who works in Colorado to fund basically time off for people that have, you know, life events that people have been coping with since the beginning of time. And it would just, you know, if 118 passes, it's going to create a huge new government transfer program where people, you know, who and the tax, you know, when they talk about family, they talk, it's, and the short, you know, paid family medical leave is the abbreviation for that is family, F-A-M-L-I, and not to be mistaken with real families, which we all have and which we all love. But family takes money from people that earned it to give it to people that didn't earn it. Through the force of government, it's funded by a tax, and
they call it a premium, though, right?
They call it a premium, but you know, as I've been saying for, you know, years now, any money taken by government force to fund a government program is a tax. You can call it whatever you want, but it's a tax. And in Colorado, we have the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, and so this really should, by rights, be voted on by the people. So we're a strong no vote on Proposition 118. And I just want to take a little moment of point since we're on the subject. We're also a strong yes on Proposition 117, which is voter approval for certain new state enterprises. So if 117 was in place, if 118 passed, then we would still have to vote on it because it's a tax increase. So, you know, the 117 closes the enterprise loophole in Tabor.
Explain that just a little bit okay. So people understand that.
Sure. So under Tabor, you know, Tabor says that taxes, increases or new taxes have to be voted on by the people. But there's an exception carved out on Tabor for air quotes enterprises, which are
and fees.
Yeah. And fees are charged by enterprises. And enterprises are like government run businesses. Except there's really no such thing as a government run business.
And I just want to interject. My understanding is why there was this carve out for fees in Tabor, in Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, initially, is because they said library districts, if they increase their fees on late books, they don't want to have to go to the voter to make that happen. And the creators of Tabor said, well, yeah, that does make sense. But leave it up to PBIs to come up with something.
Yeah, it's a little bitty loophole, and they've stretched it so big that you could sail an aircraft carrier through it. And, it's something, it's a real problem.
They have, actually.
And they have. And
can you say hospital provider fee?
Oh, yeah, I've seen graphs that show the growth of these fees that are not, they're still money that are, it's still money that's taken by force, and you don't have a choice in the matter. And, they're really exploiting that loophole. And it needs to stop. So that's why we're a strong yes on 117.
And what would that do exactly?
It would actually, that's a group.
I think it's anything over, it generates over like $100 million
in
fees.
In the first 5 years.
In the first 5 years.
Yep.
That they have to ask the people.
That's right. And that's the way it should be.
Yes. They just have the good manners to ask us because we have to pay it.
Right.
So what's the next one you want to go to?
Well, why don't you take one of the ones let's see.
Now, I'm still working on, and that's the taxes on nicotine products, okay. And that is Proposition EE. We know we are a strong no, and one of the reasons is because the supporting legislative bill behind that is 50 pages long.
That's right.
And it increases taxes by $294 million. I thought that was going to be a sleeper. You know, when we were splitting them up and doing them, I thought, oh, that's going to be easy. When I looked at it, I'm, oh, my gosh. But, James Madison said that our laws should not be so voluminous that the everyday people cannot understand it. 50 pages, honest to Pete, I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's. I scanned through that legislation myself. I know you're reading it in detail, and I'm glad you're taking one for the team there because there's a lot of stuff there. But, it's just an illustration more than anything else of the cognitive dissonance of the progressive mind because, they don't want people to smoke. Because it's or vape or whatever, because it's bad for you. But then they want to tax the hell out of it to raise money for the to fund the promises they made, like full day kindergarten and that kind of thing. So, it's really.
But they put in place in this particular proposition, they put in a tax increase of a certain number there, and yet they want to tax something that ideally they want to have declining revenues. And you know good and well that they're not going to bring that down as the revenues decline. So they just want to get that program in there. It's a tax increase, not only on people that smoke, but ultimately I think it'll be a tax increase on everyone.
Well, and it is because, when you raise taxes on people, it just causes everything else to be more expensive. And so it's just another scheme to raise money and, as we've seen through the history of Tabor, when things like this are on the ballot, they're usually voted down by resounding margins. And I expect that this one will be, too.
Well, I sure hope so. So we're a strong no on that as well. Rick, let's quickly go to break. And then when we come back, we'll continue on with this. We're doing kind of our teaser on our voter's guide. That's Rick Turnquest in studio with me. Before we move on, though, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Have you been out there yet, Rick?
I have not.
Okay. I think you'd probably like it. They have knives from the best blade makers throughout the world. I need to get a utility knife just to have around. And so I'll talk to Hal Van Herkey about getting that. But they have knives for collectors, military personnel, the sportsman or woman, great kitchen sets. For either your kitchen or for wedding gifts. So go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. Rick Turnquest is in studio with me. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. In fact, this week we are going to be rolling out this voter's guide that Rick Turnquest and I have been working diligently on. And then also you can sign up for the Salon Series Voter's Guide that we are having Monday night at Water's Edge Winery. That's on the website as well. So, Rick, we're going to get right into it because we're not going to get through all of them, but it's a good teaser. They'll have to check things out. So what do you want to talk about next?
Well, let's talk about Amendment 76, which is citizenship qualifications of voters. And I know that my friend George Thanasopoulos, I hope I said his name right.
Thanasopoulos, yeah.
one of the people behind this. And if he's listening, you know, kudos to you, George, for taking the lead on getting this on the ballot. But the text of the ballot question is, shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution requiring that to be qualified to vote at any election, an individual must be a United States citizen? And you'd think this is a no-brainer.
Right.
But, you know, in researching this, I found that, you know, non-citizens are actually allowed to vote in local elections in certain places in the country, notably Maryland and San Francisco, California. But the federal Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996 prohibits non-citizens from voting in federal elections with limited exceptions. What our state constitution says that every citizen of the United States can vote, but it does not prohibit non-citizens from voting. Amendment 77 would change that and close that loophole.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, under the concept of nationhood, you know, people who are citizens of the United States, whether they're born here or they become so through a naturalization process, which my ancestors, when they came from Northern Europe in the late 1800s, they came in through Ellis Island in New York and they, you know, went to the classes and became United States citizens, swore the oath, all that stuff. You know, those people and of course the people that are born here are the ones who should be able to vote in our elections, not people who are here illegally from other countries. Mm-hmm. And we're a strong yes on Amendment 76 because we believe that only United States citizens should vote in United States elections.
Yes, strong yes. What's the next one you want to go to?
Let's review the Proposition 113 next. And I touched on this earlier. It's the title of it is Adopt Agreement to Elect U.S. President by National Popular Vote. And last year, the state legislature, driven by the radical progressives that have...
And let me just make a point. People need to understand this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK. This is not the Democrat Party of your grandpa and your grandma. This is totally something different.
Yeah, let's be real. JFK would be laughed out of today's Democratic Party, and Harry Truman wouldn't even be on the stage. You know, JFK governed as a conservative. It's just
he got taxes.
Oh my gosh! It's just so yeah. This is not your grandpa's Democratic Party today. This is the people out burning and rioting and looting. You know, on a periodic basis. I wrote about this in my blog post on your website, Unfit to Govern, and there's a picture there of the state capitol. That alone is a graphic representation of the choice we're facing in 39 days. So last year, the state legislature adopted an agreement, or they passed a bill to include Colorado in the National Popular Vote Contract. And in the voter's guide, I've got a little bit of a discussion of the history and all that. I have a tendency to be verbose sometimes. But the bottom line is, you know, they always say, you know, oh, we need to, you know, keep our vote and, you know, every vote counts. Well, if this thing is goes into effect, your vote won't count in Colorado because it'll be disenfranchising Colorado voters.
Right. It gives our vote to Los Angeles, yeah, and San Francisco. It's crazy.
And Illinois. And so, you know. What happened was this bill was passed over strenuous objections, and despite the fact that it's a subversion of the United States Constitution, it goes against the Colorado Constitution. But the people in charge down at the Capitol nowadays, they don't care about pesky things like constitutions and, you know, what's right and what's wrong. They're out to break the Constitution and allow for, you know, to make it easier for Democratic presidents to be elected forever. And that's just not the way the country works. Donald Trump played by the rules, and he won the Electoral College. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the mythical national popular vote is. And that's going to be true in this next election as well. So this national popular vote contract is a bad thing. This legislation was passed last year, and so then a couple of activists, Rose Puglisi and
Mesa County. And then Don Wilson, mayor.
Right.
So Rose is a Mesa County commissioner, and Don Wilson, who is the mayor of Monument, sprung into action.
Right. So they, you know, this is the great thing about America. You know, when people see something that needs to be fixed, they just don't wait for the government. They just take the matter into their own hands. And that's what Rose and Don did. They went around the state. They got enough signatures to put this on the ballot to overturn this Senate bill. And so for that reason, we are a strong yes on Amendment 77.
Let's see. And wait. On Amendment 77, I got to make sure that we're
correct. Oh, no, I'm on the wrong one. Yeah. It's Proposition 113.
Okay. We're a strong no.
Yes.
Strong no. And to explain that, in the Colorado Constitution, there is a safety clause. And it says that if legislation is passed and it's for the health and safety and, you know, well-being, and they put that clause on a piece of legislation, that, in fact, it can go into effect within a certain time frame. But if it doesn't have it on there, then it can actually be referred to the citizenry to vote on it. And that's there's no way they could have put the safety clause on the national popular vote thing. They would have if they could have, but they couldn't.
Oh, they abuse the safety clause regularly. And I'm really glad that there's no stretch of the imagination that enabled it to be on there this time.
Yes. And so because of that, we the people can do a referendum on that. And good for Rose Puglisi and good for Don Wilson for jumping into action on that. And so we are a strong no. On that. Okay. One other thing I wanted to explain to people is these propositions and amendments, they have different names from when you might have been signing a petition on that. And the reason is once that gets to the Colorado Secretary of State, they then renumber them in an order. And so, like, for example, due date too late, I think that was 120. Is that right? Yeah, it was Initiative 120, but now it is Proposition 115.
Right.
And so there's a new number on all those things. We have it all, you know, all within the voter's guide. We are a strong yes on prohibiting these abortions after 22 weeks, because at that particular point in time, you know, many babies are viable outside the womb. Also, babies, science shows that they start to feel pain at 22 weeks. And so it's just compassionate to make sure that we start to move this back. I don't think a lot of people realize this. I didn't realize it for a long time, Rick, that Colorado is one of the most aggressive abortion states in the nation, and very aggressive if you look throughout the world, and that in Colorado, people could actually abort a baby right up until the day of birth. I mean, that's not okay for society to do that.
Yeah, it's really not. And, you know, you know, abortion is a very complicated issue, and that's why I kind of am glad you took the lead on writing about this one. But, you know, I think that, you know, aborting a baby later in pregnancy, you know, including up to the, you know, right before it would be born naturally, I think is, you know, it's unconscionable.
Yeah.
and it really needs to stop.
And I am writing on it extensively. Within that, if for some reason the physical health of the mother, you know, is at risk, I mean, there's some exceptions and some things working on that, but it seems like a compassionate answer to this question.
And the, you know, I have nothing but sympathy for a woman who's struggling with an unwanted pregnancy in particular, and it's a very difficult thing for everybody involved. But I know that there's so many other choices out there, like people, resources that don't involve terminating the life mm-hmm. of the baby to help mothers get through this. And
we want to support people. And there are many women that have made that choice. And I want to say that we do not judge. We want to walk through compassionately. There's forgiveness. There's grace. It seems that all those things are wrapped into this.
There's no criminal penalties for women in this.
No.
That's really important.
And it's a misdemeanor for the person that actually, and instead of a felony.
Right.
So anyway, so all those details will be there. We've only have 30 seconds. Rick, let's just have you give a final thought on that, on everything.
Well, as I said, this is a very important election, and let's just briefly discuss the candidates. So this is going to be real easy. The choice is clear between anarchy and preserving the republic. And I know that we Republicans are often unhappy with our own, but at the end of the day, there's a great picture that we're going to include on the vote on a flyer that we're going to do. It says, "Vote Republican. They may not be perfect, but the other side is insane." And all you have to do to see that is to listen to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the other people who are out rioting and burning our cities down every night.
So clear choice there. Rick Turnquist, we'll have you back again very soon because we have to continue on this. This is Kim Munson, and our quote is from Pericles. He said, "Instead of looking on discussion as a stumbling block in the way of action, we think at it an indispensable preliminary to any wise action at all." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. If I don't serve